The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 28th day of May, Sunday. And tonight, we have got a Memorial Day message for you. The title is The Lord is a Man of War. And as we, this Memorial Day, as we ponder and remember the sacrifices made by all of those that have bought our freedom, those that have given us the most prosperous, the most free and blessed country in the world, a country, the United States of America, that was the envy of all of the world. And it wasn't given without cost. Our freedoms that we enjoy, unlike greater than any other country in the world, those freedoms were bought and paid for with the blood of those people that went before us. As we honor those people today, and going back here in America, starting back with the founding fathers, and in every war that we've had, from all the way from the war for independence up until today, good men and women sacrificed and bought the freedom that we've enjoyed. But we often, as we talk about this, forget the one who inspired, who put the courage and the faith and the integrity, who gave people gave them the will to fight on, even when all odds were against them. They give them such a love for freedom that they could do nothing less than give their very all. And that was the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the one who sacrificed more than anybody, who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And all of us have benefited from that sacrifice. And so tonight we're going to start in Exodus chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Now, this is the very first song in Scripture. This is the very first song we find in Scripture. And here we see it's called the Song of Moses. Now, the interesting thing is it's also the very last song in Scripture. We find that in Revelation 15:3, and we will look at that as we go through the study tonight. But that is a very, very interesting thing. It's combined with the Song of the Lamb in Revelation 15. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts. Had he cast into the sea, his chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou hast sent us forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with a blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as in a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Well, that word congealed there meant that it was turned into like gelatin, likened to a gelatin. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is likened to thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise? Wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Well, you know, it's an interesting thing, because in Scripture, we hear the word, thy hand is stretched out still often, but now, when the word right hand is used, when the word right is inserted, it always stands for two things. One, righteousness, and the other, judgment. Righteousness and judgment. Thou, in thy mercy, hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in the strength into the holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and the mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them, and all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountains of thine inheritance. In the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thou hands have established, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels, with dancers. And Miriam answered them, saying, Sing ye the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. Well, here, Miriam the prophet, this is the very first reference to Moses' older sister since the time she watched him in the ark of the bulrushes, where his mother had hid him from Pharaoh when he was a baby. Now, this is the only reference to Miriam in the entire Bible. This is it. One time here is a prophetess. And so here, I want to go now to Revelation 15. And as we just had said, in Revelation 15, we just read the first song in the Bible, Now, this is the last song in the scriptures. In Revelation 15, we start with verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Now, here, this is preparation being made for the final vial judgments. Seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And then that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having harps of gold. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. And so here we see that when he refers to those seven plagues, this was specifically was said to be the sign of the seven angels, the symbolic representing all the angelic hosts who eagerly anticipated the complete takeover of his inheritance by the Lamb, and who are thus ready to send the seven last plagues on the earth. Now, you note that these are the last plagues, not just a parallel repetition of the seven seal judgments and the seven trumpet judgments. The seven seals introduce the seven trumpets, and the seven trumpets compasses the seven vials of wrath, which, well, with the seven last plagues. Now here what he refers to, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire in them that had gotten the victory. That's a heavenly sign in pictures, the overcomers of the great tribulation. And this takes place in about the last 3.5 years under the absolute rule of the beast. Now most of these will be martyred, even eventually resurrection and raptured to join the saints of earlier ages, probably at the end of the tribulation, and presumably is the assembly shown to John in the sign. The Song of Moses celebrated the ancient deliverance of the people of God by the Red Sea. And so here, I want to now go over to Joshua chapter 5. And in Joshua, it's amazing how thin these pages of these in the Bible, how thin they are. And here in Joshua chapter 5, starting with verse 13. Now here we're going to see a Christophany take place. The Lord himself, the Lord Jesus himself, is the captain of the host. And he stood up and, well, he definitely got Joshua's attention. But then we also take a look at how brave Joshua was to approach the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the captains of the host. Now, there are those out there that also are saying, there are some that are saying that this was not a Christophany, this was simply an angel of God, but that is absolutely ridiculous to even make such a statement, and we'll take a look at why. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Well, you'll notice something, am I, okay? Like I am. So Joshua right away picks up on this, here, who he's talking to. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Joshua realized who he was in the presence of. Now, let's say had it just been like some priests, you know, you've got over 200 perversions now, perversions of the Bible out there. And folks, I'm going to tell you, this is everything to try to destroy this. Stay with the King James Bible. Stay with the King. God didn't give us 200 versions. Stay with it. It is by far superior to any of the so-called versions out there in every way. And the captain of the Lord's host said in Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, let me just tell you, had it been just an angel, the angel would have immediately rebuked Joshua and told him to worship God only. Here, you'll only find holy ground where the Lord is present. You'll only find this holy ground where the Lord is present. Now, I want to take a look over at Revelation chapter 19. And in Revelation chapter 19, we read, starting with verse 11. Now, here we're seeing the Lord himself is getting ready to terminate the tribulation with his army. He's about ready to put a complete and total end to all the woke armies of the world. Now, some of you may remember, been listening to us over the years, how Chaplain John McTernan and myself had gotten into quite a controversy with the War College and also the Pentagon. And they were using this passage and another passage that we're going to go to in Zechariah. And they were saying that here Christians should really not be allowed to serve in the military because our allegiance is not to to NATO or to United Nations, the UN, but our allegiance is to Christ. And you'll see why they said that as we go through this passage here. So we start here in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now, I wanted to say this, that people often will kind of get confused on this. And, well, Pastor, I mean, how many crowns could he fit on his head? No, it's not that there's one crown on top of another crown on top of another crown. On these crowns there were signets, and each one represented a crown of righteousness, a crown of holiness, and all of these different crowns. And but there was only one, if you will, main crown, and the other crowns were all a part of that. He goes on to say, as his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, that vesture dipped in blood is Well, as it says here, he rode triumphantly down the great wine press filled with the blood that reached the horse's bridle. Now, folks, here, I don't want you to make a mistake. A lot of people think when you're talking about horse's bridle, they're in the Battle of Megiddo, that there were, you know, there was 5 feet of blood, that you have blood that were 5 feet deep. That wasn't it. If you've ever watched race horses run, when they run, especially in the mud, they kick up the mud. The mud goes right up to their bridle, And in this situation, when those horses will be running with the blood in this valley, the blood will be right up to their bridle. It would be impossible for horses to go through, to run into battle within 5 feet of blood. It just wouldn't, you know, that wouldn't happen. But that's what it's referring to. The blood would be up to the horse's bridle. And the armies in heaven were followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, the armies in heaven are going to be made up of four categories of saints. It's going to start first with the angels. The angels were the first to be called the saints. And then you're going to have the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and the Tribulation saints. Now, they're not going to be spectators. These are not going to be spectators. These saints, and those will be those of us who have been gone home to be with the Lord, and we'll have now our glorified bodies. We will be returning to earth to fight against the armies of the world. Now, when you go to war, the goal is to kill more of the enemy than they kill of you. I mean, that's what happens when you go to war, okay? And that's your goal. But in this case, since we will have glorified bodies, we won't be able to die. Now, we're not talking this time like it was last time when he went for the day of battle. This isn't going to be against Pharaoh's chariots and swordsmen. No, we're going to be fighting the armies of the world, and those includes the army of this here United States. That includes the army of this here United States will be involved. As you can see today, how our military has turned anti-God, has turned so anti-God today already. Not the soldiers themselves, but the leadership. And so here, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, when you see this, it's not talking about millions and millions of the saints riding millions and millions of miles across space. What you're talking about here, we see all through Scripture where a door is open, a door is open, a door is open. And what is that referring to? It's referring to different dimensions. And so as they leave the third heaven, you're going to see a door opened, and when that door opens on the other side, well, they'll be back here on earth. It won't be, like I said, millions of miles of space that they're going through. How do we know that? Well, we've seen it all through Scripture. We see Jesus in the upper room. Boom, a door is open. Jesus standing there. We see Moses upon the mountain in a cloud. A door opens, and God steps out. We see Jacob sitting, and right above him, a door opens, and a ladder comes down. Now, that door is right above him. It's not out there, you know, millions of miles out there. It's right above him. That door opens, and a ladder comes down, and angels go up and down. You see in John chapter 4, or Revelation chapter 4, with the Apostle John, where right above him, a door opens, right above John, a door opens, and he's caught up. So these are dimensions, and this is how that'll work. All of a sudden, we'll be from the third heaven right there on earth. It goes on to say, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. Now that word sword means weapon. Means a weapon. And what is the weapon? He doesn't have this huge sword sticking out of his mouth, a metal sword. No, that weapon that he has is he's commanding his troops. Go get them. And he goes on to say, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. And he hath his vesture on his thigh, a name written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of all of them that set upon them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat upon the horse and against his army. They've gathered to make war against the Lord of Jesus Christ and us, the saints. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and then that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which the sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all of the fowls were filled with their flesh. And so, here now, we're seeing the Lord Jesus, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings, about ready to return to earth, and he's going to put an end to this tribulation period completely. And so he returns with all of his saints. And if you turn over to Zechariah, and in Zechariah chapter 14, you see the Lord Jesus and his saints arriving back on earth. And as we go there, now, I'm going to have to take a minute and wet my whistle, because this is the third time I'm preaching this today and I'm starting to lose my voice. Boy, that's nice and cold. Behold, I'm in chapter 14 of Zechariah. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Excuse me. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Now, the day of battle is referring to where we started off reading today. That was when the Lord took Israel out of Egypt. And we're going to take a look and see how God is an immutable God. He does things the same way. He never changes them. He does them the same way, because he gets it right every single time. And he goes on to say, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day by the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain removed toward the north and half toward the south. Now, we're seeing here, what did he do when he took his people out of Egypt? He parted the Red Sea to the north and to the south, and then he took his people through. Now, here we're going to see that he's going to do very similar. He's taking his people through into Shiloh. Now, you got to picture this. Here's all the army. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, Jerusalem is a very, very large city. It's a very large city. And here, I can just picture hordes and hordes of soldiers coming into Jerusalem because, of, you know, Israel's a small country, but Jerusalem's definitely a large city. And here now, when he goes to the Mount of Olives, well, if you've ever been to the Mount of Olives, it's almost straight up, folks. But at least if you try to walk it, it sure feels like it is. I can tell you this thing, by the time you get to the top, you'll definitely want to stop and take a rest. And here now, he's talking about he will return, and his feet will be in the exact same places as where he stood when he left from the Mount of Olives. He'll return to the exact same place. Now, here he says, and you shall flee to the valley in the mountains, and the valley of the mountains shall reach into Aziel. Yea, you shall flee like you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come with all of his saints. Now, that earthquake, it was a terrible earthquake. Now remember, this earthquake was such a terrible earthquake that here, this had happened 300 years earlier. It happened 300 years earlier, and people were still talking about this earthquake, this terrible earthquake here. And here now, he goes on to say, and the Lord my God shall come with all his saints with thee. So we arrive back, and like I said, we're not there to be spectators, folks. We're there to do battle with the armies of the world. Now again, like I said, when you go to war, the object is to kill more of the enemy than they kill of you. Now, we're going to have glorified bodies. We're going to have glorified bodies. In other words, they won't be able to kill us. So that's going to be one great advantage over the enemies, over the armies of the world. And so we're going to have powers that we can only imagine. And we're going to be immortal. We will be immortal. And my guess is we'll have every bit of the powers of the angels, because we will be judging angels. And he said here, and it shall come to pass that in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day shall be known as the Lord's, will be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass at evening time, it shall be light. Now this is going to be a supernatural phenomenon that the Lord himself does. And so here, and it shall come to be in that day that living water shall go forth out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and winter shall it be. Now, these are two great rivers, and these two great rivers, they're going to be coming out right from underneath the throne. The Lord Jesus is going to rebuild his temple, and the great rivers will emerge from a great aquifer beneath Jerusalem, and it's going to be right beneath the Lord himself, his throne, when he rebuilds the temple. And so here, you're going to see these rivers. One is going to flow into the Dead Sea. The other is going to flow into the Mediterranean. Now, this river is going to bring life back. It's going to restore life into the Dead Sea. There's going to be life into the Dead Sea, abundant life into the Dead Sea. And all around it, you'll see vegetation growth. And so, in fact, I think I may just do a message on that. Over in Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12 would be a good passage for you to read on that. But anyhow, so here, as we see this, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. And in all the land shall be turned into a plain, from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up, and the inhabitant in her place, from Benjamin's gate all the way into the place of the first gate, into the corner gate, and from the tower of Hanel into the king's winepress. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Now, in this next verse, folks, it makes me wonder, here, it says, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord God will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. That's exactly what happens when one is hit with a neutron bomb. That's exactly what a neutron bomb does. All the soft organs are dissolved immediately. It doesn't destroy property, but it kills all life. And so here, now think about this. Do you think, is God going to use a neutron bomb? I kind of have a feeling that the armies of the world will end up using it on each other. And why do you say that now? Well, let me keep reading and I'll tell you why. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver, apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, and of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents in this plague. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king and the Lord of hosts and the king, and to keep the feast of the tabernacle. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth until Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they have no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith. And the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up and keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, during this millennial kingdom, this is the millennial reign, the saints, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christians, the born-again believers, those that are truly saved, are going to be reigning with Christ. Now, we're going to have positions, some like governors, some like mayors, you know, whatever, police chiefs, however, but we will be ruling with the Lord. And in that time, with the Lord Jesus being there enthroned, judgment will be instantaneously. Now, people will withhold their, those that have dissenters will withhold that. They will keep that because the Lord is there. It's not like it is today when we have such total lawlessness in America. And again, the saints, we will be ruling with him. Now, a child born on the very first day of that millennial kingdom will live the entire 1,000 years, because there will be no death except for what the Lord himself would administer to those that during that period, because you got to have unsaved people, but during that period, those that would rebel, the judgment would be instant on them. This shall be the punishment of the Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up unto the Feast of Tabernacles. Now in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And they shall sacrifice, shall come and take of them, and seed therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. And so here we're going to see that during that millennial kingdom there will be peace, like he said here. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And so I want to now here do a little commentary very quickly. Now, those on the left today that preach Jesus was a pacifist, they're out there. You hear them now and then. They're talking about how the Lord Jesus was not judgmental, how the Lord Jesus was tolerant. He would tolerate people just the way they are. He would love them or let them live their lives the way they want to, and he would not punish them, that he was tolerant of their sin. Now, folks, I got news for them, and I actually had a woman try to tell me this, and I told her, listen, that Lord that you just described to me exists in your mind, but be assured, woman, the one that you will be standing before in judgment day, when it comes to sin, there was no less tolerant man that ever walked the face of the earth than the Lord Jesus himself. And so here, as we read this, their purpose in saying that the Lord Jesus was a pacifist was to convince the biblically illiterate that resistance to tyranny is disobedience to God. In other words, obey the government, not God. And so here, we know that our founding fathers didn't buy that lie, not even for a minute. No, they knew that their rights came from God. They knew that the price of liberty would be a high and costly price. They knew that tyrants were in abundance, and their goal was to take away the freedom of the masses and to control every aspect of their lives. They knew that man's sinful nature, those apart from the Christian faith, would be compelled by their lust and greed for power and wealth, and to take away the life and liberty and happiness of God's people. That's exactly what they're doing today. This is exactly what the woke corporations, this is exactly what the woke media, what they call mainstream media, this is exactly what the so-called Democratic Party and the apostate church, this is exactly what their goal is. They were of the mindset that it was better to die free than to live in bondage. And for their posterity and that of their children, they were willing to pay freedom's price with their own blood. This love for freedom has been passed down from generation to generation, from the war for independence to this very present day. The tyrant's threat is now greater than it ever has been. And the will of the American patriot is once again being tested. Do we have as a once blessed freedom-loving people, still have the will to stand for what's right? Have we allowed ourselves to become so indoctrinated with the spewing of cultural Marxism that we no longer have the will to run to the fight against such tyranny? Will we overcome the onslaught of revisionist history and remember the truth of those that came before us? Will we remember their courage, their character, and faith that bought us the greatest freedom, prosperity, and happiness that this world has ever known? America has been the envy of every nation of the world. People by the millions flock here because of the government the Founding Fathers gave us. And at the same time, we have an Antichrist communist. The enemy is within. The enemy is within. The enemy is called the Democratic Party today, folks. They are the enemies of God, of country. They want to take away your freedom. Make no bones about it. They want to take away your life, your liberty, and your pursuit of happiness. Well, we remember that the price that they paid was their own blood. Are we willing to honor their memory by doing as much for our children and their children and God and country as they did for us? I believe that I speak for the heart of true Americans when I say, and as I said this today, in fact, I believe also that I speak for this congregation here before me. And I truly feel that the church there that I pastor, that every single person in that church we called upon would be willing to lay down their life for freedom and liberty. We will never, no, not ever, accept or be ruled by your Antichrist woke, satanic, Marxist, immoral tyranny. And that's the message for the Democratic Party. We would rather die on our feet before we will live on our knees. We will not rest until America is once again one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, if our God allows. And I want to turn now over to Revelation chapter 22. And in Revelation chapter 22, we read and I've got a little problem with the pages here, but we'll get to it, I think, shortly. In Revelation chapter 22, we read, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there were the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. The curse will be completely lifted from the new earth, folks. No curse at all. That curse is talking about death. That curse is death and disease, sickness. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, and the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Now that word angelus there can be an angelic being, or it can also be a word used for messenger, as we see several places in Scripture. Well, for example, the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, where it talks about the angels of the seven churches. Well, those angels are the pastors. They're men. So it was referring to men as angels. And then we see in Daniel, and in other places, we see the Lord Jesus Christ referred to as a man. We just read there over in Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a man of war. A man of war. And then we see in Daniel where Gabriel and the angels were referred to as the man Gabriel. So often we see what happens, we'll see angels referred to men and men referred to angels here. And now he says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Boy, I got to tell you, with 200 perversions of the scripture, 200 versions out there now. And I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am the fellow servant. I already read this part. and thy brethren and their prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now we see over in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 and 4 where Daniel was instructed to seal up the book. But we've been watching real time as those seals have been opened in our lifetime. We're seeing these things taking place right before our eyes. We're living it real time. And he said unto me, well, and that is unjust, let him be unjust. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter into and through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Folks, I remember one time a woman wanting to know, she was hoping that her dog, that she would see her dog in heaven. And here she wondered why couldn't dogs, for without our dogs. Well, this is not referring to a four-footed canine. This is the fifth time in Scripture where homosexuals, sodomites, LGBTQ, are referred to as dogs. And sorcerers, folks, and that's Big Pharma, that's Pfizer, that's Moderna, that's Johnson & Johnson. This is pharmakia. This is realities. The vast majority of these people in this country are totally clueless in the world to what the realities all around them. And whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man should take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God should take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from these things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Well, folks, we're out of time for tonight. And I hope you enjoyed tonight's. I'm wishing you all a blessed, blessed Memorial Day. And let's remember who sacrificed the most. So until tomorrow, we want to say good night, God bless, and always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
See, you've applied for our open position for account representative? Yeah, that's the one.
Great. I see you went to UC Berkeley.
It was really awesome. We had several sit-ins to protest oppressive capitalism.
Oh, and how about your skills for this position?
Oh, yes. I know all about how to spot microaggressions and root out privilege.
We don't really do that here. We do accounting and finance consulting.
Do you have any safe spaces?
Safe spaces?
Yes, where people can go to get away from the colonialist mentality. As long as there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, we'll be fine.
Life's too short to waste your time on bad hires. I'm Andrew Krapschetz, the CEO and founder of RedBalloon.Work. Every week, tens of thousands of reliable, career-minded job seekers visit RedBalloon.Work without all that woke nonsense. Post your open jobs at RedBalloon.Work. And if you put in promo code SALEM, you'll receive 10% off your first month's job postings.